This is CliffCentral.com.
The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
This is the Leadership and Education feature of our three-hour Leadership Transformation Platform. I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Louis Groenewald and Barbara Dale Jones, CEO of Bridge Projects. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Adrian.
You say nothing on the education front, so let's go straight into it. Just a reminder, last week you did an interview with Melanie Smuts, founder and principal of JP Park Primary.
That's right.
Dynamic one, and that's a good podcast to download.
And that's a growing intervention. They've opened their first school, but it's going to be the first school of many, so this is one to watch.
Mm. All right, today we've got a special lady, Lindelwa Nkezo, from Tamaho Primary School in Katlehong. And this is a good story, I think, because it's about, well, in essence, integrating ICT into school. And of course, with that, you have to create a positive environment for your staff, learners, administrators. But what gets me here is the whole school is made up of prefabricated material. Right, Lindelwa?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And yet you have managed to create a positive environment for your staff, from what we hear. And learners and all the other administrators, conducive to teaching and learning. And those of us who grew up, like our previous guest said, very privileged, and you know, we just used to very big, nice schools with big halls and big, lovely rugby fields and soccer fields. It's not that easy, I'm guessing, to create motivated teachers and learners in a prefabricated environment. And then the school has a superb computer center, not seen in many institutions. So a couple of unique elements here, and we want to find out why. First, how long have you been at the school?
I've been at the school since 2006, but as a deputy principal. But from 2014 July, I was appointed principal.
So the last almost 2 years you've been principal?
2 years, yes.
You've been at the school for 10 years almost?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in leadership in between as well, hey?
Yes.
You didn't just jump from teacher to...
No, deputy to principal.
Deputy to principal. Mm. So the school, tell us about the kids, how many kids and the sort of the demographics. Let us just get a feel for the heartbeat of the school.
I have about 1,488 learners.
So that's big. It's a primary school.
It's quite big, yes. I have six grade R classes,
yeah.
Five grade ones, five grade twos, five grade threes. And then from grade 4 to 7, 3 classes. Although the number requires 4 classes, but because of lack of posts.
Okay, teachers?
Yes. Teachers, I have 39.
39.
And non-teaching staff, the cleaners, I have 7 and 3 administrators.
Do you have the staff complement needed for a 1,400 child school or not?
Not really, but we're still waiting for growth posts.
Okay.
Yes.
And then the kids come from what homes? What are the general social challenges?
The school is in a previously disadvantaged area, RDP houses. The kids are from the Eastern Cape, the parents. They are from the Eastern Cape rural areas. And they are here mainly for job, looking for employment. They rent in shanty houses with windows or no windows when you go and visit those learners when someone is sick. You see shame. Then I thought for myself, let me make a difference, a huge one, so that these learners can see that there is some other things beyond what they are used to.
There's hope.
There's light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope.
So you've tried to, despite limited resources, create a light.
Yes. As a result, when you drive to the school, on your way, when you pass through the houses, you'll get shocked, where am I going to? But as soon as you enter the school gate, the environment changes completely.
In what way?
It's different. It's sent in an RTP area.
Now, she's making me, I want to go look at this.
You have to go.
So, I mean, is the garden, have you tried to make it really neat and to make it
it's
a haven?
It's very clean. It's neat. Yeah. And with the ACT prefabricated classes and administration, there's aircons, so the environment is really conducive.
Oh, well, okay. So your motivation, why are you doing this? Well, what?
You know, because I want these learners to see that there is another life. not only the one that they come from rural and coming into Joburg to stay in shanties. They must know that there's better life beyond that. Secondly, making a difference in your society, it gives me joy to see that I've contributed in their lives. For them also to prepare them for competitiveness globally.
That's such a big job, isn't it? I mean, in general, our education does not equip our kids for the world that is rushing by them outside the school walls.
Yes. Another thing, you know, I don't want them to get culture shock, because when you go to university or even in high school, where our MEC started rolling out tablets and stuff. Now, when they get there, they'll be shocked. I normally call it culture shock. They won't be able to use those things. They'll drop out. Therefore, I want to prepare them now. Even assignments are done online at university. So if they are not used to internet and stuff, then definitely they'll drop out. They'll end nowhere. And I want them to change their parents' lives.
Lindewa, you inspire me. I just wish I hope we have many more principals like you. We do, actually. We've met some of them on the show. But it's a drop in the huge bucket of challenges. So this ICT, just tell us about your actual ICT section of the school.
Fortunately, when they were building this ACT school there, there was a building, an old building, which was built by parents donating bricks. Therefore, I requested them to leave that structure. And that is the structure that is the ICT lab. Yes. So it motivated me because it's a brick structure. First of all, and it was two classrooms, but I broke them and made one huge hall, which is a 90-seater, 15 6-seater tables. Well-built furniture, nice furniture. I was fortunate to have donors, old people who were tourists from UK in 1996. They were touring around that area, and they saw this poor school. And those old people have been raising funds and sending them to the school probably twice a year, about 20-something thousand rands when converted from the euros. So I had about 90,000 that they had sent when we had requested a netball court for the learners. Then, but because we had challenges with the department extending our yard, in fact, fencing off, we have the yard, but it's not entirely fenced off. So I requested these people, can I use your money and start something else? Because it's been 2 years now, I have been sitting with your man. Then they agreed. Then started doing those tables. I bought laptops for teachers, all teachers, but they are repaying that monthly. 200 rands a month for 24 months, because those laptops will belong to them. But I just want them to have working tools in class. That's all. Yes. And then I started small with a lab as well. It was second-hand computers. Bought second-hand desktops, about 25, and managed to get sponsors from that area. Is close to an industrial area, which is Al Road. So many parents are working there. So it's easy for me to approach those companies. Then I approached this company, Bosworth, and they donated 25 computers as well. So presently I'm sitting with 50 computers. I'm still short of 40. But with time, we'll get there.
Sure. Barbara, such a good story. Your thoughts on it?
It's an amazing story. And, you know, we know so much about what makes good leadership. It's that setting of a vision and the relentless pursuit of it. But so much of what's coming out in Lindell's story tells something about the attributes that a good leader needs. So, you know, she's enthusiastic and passionate. She's determined. She's resourceful. She makes everybody accountable. And I love the idea that in her vision is this idea of the global competitiveness of her learners, so that she's equipping them for a 21st century work environment, and she's not being in any way deterred by the circumstances of their backgrounds or their surroundings.
It's doing the impossible, or making the impossible possible, almost, Louis.
You know, we were discussing it the other day, that when people speak, they do two things: reveal who they are, and also then the content as well. Now, if you're revealing who you are, And it's amazing how the content of what you do follows as well. If you try and put the content first, we must do the following, but you don't believe it, it won't happen. And so whenever we open our mouths, we actually reveal who we are, and then we think we're revealing content. But also, it's more important to decide, to understand who we are. You know, are we really committed, passionate? We've had people here, some principals and some pupils, where there's three beautiful black girls here who all got 8, 7, and 6 distinctions at school, and also not in an affluent area at all, and how they spoke of the incredible support of the principal and teachers for them. The result is they were inspired, and they're reaching great heights because of the motivation of a principal.
Lindelwa, did you as a kid growing up in the school where you found yourself have an exemplary principal or not?
Not really.
So that's not something that impacted
you? Not really.
You
won't find that in the Eastern Cape, eh?
they are battling this.
Not really. But okay. It's just that I grew up in a good family. Both my parents were educated. So I was just passionate about education.
Mm. So what I see is, like we've seen before, you cannot achieve what you have and what you will without partnerships. You approach corporates, you turn them into partners, the community. Mm. Has that been a big drive for you to create partnerships all over? Partnerships?
Yeah, not really, because I've got support from my district e-learning unit. They supported me. And when I had a deputy post, I really looked hard for a deputy who's got ICT certificates, and he's also pushing really hard.
Okay.
So not really. And there's a company, Belela Communications, they always come and do presentations. They assisted me. I've got a portal that I bought through them, which has got content, e-learning now. And fortunately, the MEC also said 70% of the LTSM budget must go to e-learning. Therefore, instead of purchasing textbooks, then we had to purchase e-content. Therefore, it became easier. It became really easier. With the SGP also, they supported me. It's only a lack of parental involvement that affected me.
Is that a big problem there?
Yeah, because there's that unemployment which is rife. Parents are not working. They don't want to contribute anything. But I had to motivate them to say, even your cell phone, for you to press your cell phone, you need to have data or airtime. Therefore, please, let us just contribute something. But they are only contributing, the little ones, grade 1 to 3, 150 rands per year. For the use of the computers. And the grade 4s to 7s, 200 rands for the whole year.
Mm. And the difference, just spell out again the difference it'll make to these kids and the difference it is making because of this ICT center that you've got. Mm. I mean, yeah, it's equipping them for the world out there. You've said a few important things. But what is it doing for them? Is it raising the pride? Or what is it doing?
There's a more learner achievement, and absenteeism has improved. They're always looking forward to go to school because they are using Wi-Fi there. We even have tablets that we carry to classes, and we've extended the Wi-Fi to classes as well. So it's interesting to go to school for them. And remember, with the kids, they are far ahead of us in terms of ICT or technology.
It comes natural.
Yes,
yeah.
It comes natural with them. They get bored through learning with books. Therefore, they learn easily by touching. We call them the 21st century learners. They are not the chalk and talk type. No, they get bored. But if you say search for something and collaboration, Skype, you know, watching those videos is so interesting. And it makes less work for the teacher as well because assessments are also done there. They quickly mark themselves that thing.
Well, what's more important? Delivering good teaching and learning or introducing ICT?
They work hand in glove. You can't separate them from each other.
Really?
They make the job very easy. Because remember, it's time saving for the teacher to do the planning, and it's there. It's e-content. It's always there.
Is it actually improving learning outcomes?
It definitely improves them.
Well, it just makes everyone excited and happy.
Mm-mm, but it improves them.
But you know that it does? So it actually does improve the outcomes.
Yes. There's more time for teaching. There's more time with learner engagement. You see, because than writing first, and then the learners have to copy, then you have to go through that content.
Yes.
It saves time. You just project and you start.
Because that is the impression I have in other schools, Barbara, is that the by the time the kids, as we've said before, settled and they're in the classroom ready to listen, it's time to write down homework and start doing some homework almost. Mm. There's very little teaching time. It's, the teaching has been incorporated into homework rather than the teacher's teaching.
And with our learners in that area, they don't do homework because there's not even a table at home to sit and do homework properly. But now they come early to school, they leave late, they stay there, do their homeworks there. It's so nice. Everybody enjoys being in school, even if teachers, they stay longer.
Okay. Louis, did you want to say?
I was going to ask about the teachers, and you're saying, no, the teachers are part of your vision. Yes. That's what you're saying. Mm. And that's great.
But remember, fortunately, with my staff, I have older teachers and I have young ones, a balance of 18 and so on, you see. So therefore, there were those who had technophobia, the older ones, definitely. But the young ones, they just infused, you know, and we had to do some trainings. I also got a partner, Microsoft. They are busy helping me with training my teachers, doing online assessments and getting certifications. So everybody's just interested. It's nice.
So for other principals out there, Lindelwe, who are wanting to use ICTs in the school and are thinking that there are lots of challenges, can you help them by describing what are some of the challenges and how you've overcome them?
Sure, there are challenges. I don't want to lie. For instance, burglaries. I had a burglary and it shocked me, but traumatized me, but I thought I cannot go back now. I have to move forward. But the only thing, we just have to ensure the goods. That's also that whenever, we cannot run away from the burglaries, they will happen. But if we insure the goods, then we get them so that we don't go back. And crime. Because these learners get exposed now. If they carry their own things, then they are exposed to being followed and so on. And another challenge, if they carry their own things, they don't become compatible. And rolling out that program is also a lot of cost. So it was not easy, but with the help of these partnerships and the support of the SGB, my cluster leader, who is my inspector, and the teachers who are motivated, then it was not that difficult.
So a real challenge, Barbara, which people would probably foresee to some degree. So how did you overcome it? You say you had the help of the SGB, you had the help of teachers. But advice to principals on how to prevent that from happening, perhaps?
No, you can't prevent it, but you must just insure the goods. But other principals, they are not, they don't believe in insurance and stuff like that, and it becomes a drawback. Once the things are stolen, it's done. Then they have to start from scratch, or they are even reluctant to start.
Premium must be quite high, though, in the area.
Not really, because I'm paying about 1,700 to insurance, and that includes the air cons that are there as well.
Okay.
It's not too bad.
It's not bad.
It's reasonable.
And there's laptops. Remember the management team, we've included their laptops, about 10 laptops.
I've got another question, which is, I know you're part of a community of practice of principals in your district. How has that helped you? How has it helped you generally in your practice as a principal and maybe specifically with this project?
It helps because that's where we share our problems. Remember, when you are a principal, you apply for isolation. You are on your own.
You apply for isolation.
Yes, you are on your own. You can't talk to your staff about certain things, especially most important decisions. But in that forum, we are relaxed. We talk about all the challenges that we have. We advise each other. Then it's very helpful in that way. It's very helpful.
Yeah, I think you're right. Leadership is an isolated career. And to have the support of fellow leaders is very important. And I think for principals to take these opportunities to work with each other and learn from each other is vital. Adrian?
Yeah, where are you going with a school? I guess you won't be principal forever. I don't know if there's a standard 4 or 5 year term or not at all. Are you on track? Where are you going?
At the moment, the school is not yet where I want it to be. I'm giving myself another 5 years from now because remember I said the yard is not fenced, the whole yard is not fenced yet, but it will be done by April. And I already have plans of making an all-weather netball court, double, a rugby field, because we also introduced rugby at my school, and my kids are doing very well. They are winning. And chess. Then I want to do the rugby field that side, and a vegetable garden. Therefore, I still need to finish that project first before I can move on. Moving on would be going to work at the district office as a cluster leader or inspector.
Inspiring other teachers to hopefully do the same.
Yes.
Well, you inspire me, and I have no doubt. I mean, 1,400 kids, I can't imagine the challenges behind them back in the home environment. You exposed us a little bit to that. And when you're a principal of a school like that, though limited resources, you almost become the, I don't know, the mayor of the town. Now you're creating this beacon, this beautiful part inside a tough environment. And you would hope that even criminals would respect that. But I guess not, eh? So good luck. I mean, we just your final advice to principals to inspire them.
With the evolving 21st century kids, we have to meet their demands. That's all I can say. They just have to be positive with ICT. It's going nowhere. It's here to stay. Let them begin with it. That would be my advice. But they must also ensure that there's things like alarms and so on, because that's what helps me. The community, have a good relationship with your community, and tell the parents that whenever you hear a siren or something, come, know that there's something wrong at the school.
Stand together as a community, yeah.
Stand together as a community, that's all.
Plan for the worst, hope for the best.
Yes.
that's what I also see here. Thank you so much. Principal of Tamaho Primary in Katlehong, Lindelwa Ngezo, we are grateful to have you here in the studio with us. Barbara Dale Jones, thank you so much.
Thanks, Arjun.
And the show will have a break for the next 2 weeks with the public holidays. Yeah, it's tough. Mondays, public holidays. So we'll rerun some of our best shows. Louis Grenoble, thank you as well. I'm looking forward to the bush. We'll be back with energy and look forward to Leadership Transformation Platform. Lots of things we're working on. Go out there and lead. You know, that's all we say. Create movement.
The Leadership Platform was brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company. This is CliffCentral.com.